The following broadcast of Talk Shop was recorded for broadcast at this time. Good morning. Today is Tuesday, March the 12th. Joining us this morning, Director of Humboldt County's Aviation Department.
Oh, my gosh.
Close?
Yeah, that was right on.
Cody Rogatz. Good morning, dude.
First time for everything, huh?
Impossibly, quite possibly, last.
How you doing, Brian?
Don't lock on this one.
Tune in next time to see how consistent he is.
No, see what you're in charge of.
Yeah, that too.
Could be a new job.
Yeah.
All right. Our question this morning, where did the expression the whole nine yards come from?
Boy, I have been golfing since I was 5 years old, and I'm still terrible at the game. That's a lot of years ago. The whole nine yards. I'm guessing because there's nine holes at the golf course.
Well, it starts out with World War II.
You lost me already.
All right. During the South Pacific action of the Second World War, American fighter planes, machine guns, were armed on the ground with 50 caliber ammunition belts that measured exactly 27 feet. Or nine yards. Oh, good. So there was some Midwest math that stuck.
Minnesota math, don't you know.
In the length before being loaded into the fuselage. If, during mortal combat, a pilot gave everything he had by firing all of his ammunition at a single target, it was said he'd given it
the whole nine yards. I like that. That's pretty cool.
Kind of like when you're out trying to hunt. You whip that one on the family anytime you want.
He's heard too many stories off air of my hunting endeavors.
Well, it's not the hunting endeavors. It's the
shooting holes in the sky.
Targeting ability that you got.
Yep. Missed again.
Yeah. Doesn't Phil Collins have a song?
Yeah.
Yeah, missed again. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Didn't realize it was a theme song
I'll
for you.
I'll have to look through his library. I'm sure there's other ones that apply too.
Well, and you probably don't want to run that over the PA at the airport.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. Whoops, missed again.
Not exactly.
Oh, geez. So how's the airline industry doing? You know, we have the inflation going stupid crazy. Now, some may say it's not as stupid and as crazy as it was, but it still is. Gas, fuel prices still continuing to be at these inflated levels.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, that's two inflateds in the same question. Cool. Is it negatively impacting air travel at this point?
It's not for us and in most locations. When you look at the airline or airport industry and you're tracking passenger numbers by airport, you know, we all went through COVID and the impacts to aviation. You and I have talked about that before. It was a downturn like our industry has never seen, including after 9/11 and other events throughout the history of
really,
the
COVID was
industry.
More than after the
oh, it was way worse.
Explosions,
yeah, it was way worse than 9/11. Huh. It was way worse than the economic downturn and 2008, 2009, we had a 95% downturn at ACV, and that was the industry average. So if you had 100
it's
passengers.
It's almost like having a private jet.
Well, yeah.
I didn't think about it that way. You could have been a 94%.
Yeah.
Just to fly.
Yeah. Just, you know, for example, if you had a 100 passenger jet, that was completely full in April of 2019. Every day that you flew it as an airline, in April of 2020, there were five people on that jet. Still with 100 seats, still the same operating cost.
With leg room.
Yeah. Oh, imagine that. You're in the back row and this stretch out or
back
lay
row.
Down.
Yeah, yeah. It would be like Bob Uecker. I'd still be put in the back row.
They still would put you in the back row. Yes, absolutely. But no, it was a tragic situation. We were fortunate enough to make it through that. And our industry had to become very innovative in how that was addressed. Thankfully, the federal government had significant money that they put into the aviation system, recognizing that. But since that time, as we've talked about before, ACV's grown significantly with new airline service and larger jets and more capacity. So we're a lot better connected than we were before COVID. But we're also serving a lot more passengers, and that's really the case for the whole industry. When we went into COVID...
But not more flights.
we have more flights than we had before COVID, and we also have more destinations. Not a lot, but more. And when you look back before COVID, we had most of our flights with United were on 50-seat jets, which was great, you know, for a 45-minute or an hour ride down to San Francisco or an hour and a half, hour 45 to LAX. It was on those 50-seat regional jets.
Yeah, suck it up, you'll make it.
Right. Now, almost every single time we have a United flight in and out of ACV, it's in a 70 or 76-seat regional jet. They're a lot more spacious inside. They have a first-class cabin. Of course, they have the back row.
That would be a rumor for some of us.
Yeah, they have the back. They have the back row for Brian. Yeah, yeah. But no, it's we are filling those up, and we're way above those passenger levels that we experienced back in 2019. And that's true for most airports across the country. They're higher than they were in 2019.
What's the next biggest plane
that
could land at ACV?
Yeah, so that 70 to 76 seat regional jet, they can land and take off just fine with our conditions. It really helps. So our main runway is 6,046 feet long, so just over a mile, but we're just above sea level. If we had that same runway in, say, Denver, we wouldn't be able to service those regional jets because they need a lot more runway in that thinner, you know, higher altitude air. But for us, we could handle the next bigger jet is on the Boeing side, that 737 family, like Avelo flies, or on the Airbus side, the A320 family. We could also handle that.
So that would just be driven by demand and coordination with other locations?
Yeah, yeah. So if we continue to grow like we have in the past, and our region continues to grow with Cal Poly's growth efforts and offshore wind and all the different things that the economic development folks in our region are really striving to try to bring that growth to Humboldt County and beyond, it's something that will mature into that next larger jet. And to answer your question, that next larger jet specifically in United's fleet right now is the A319. So you're looking at ballpark 130, 140 seats.
Oh, that's
there.
Significant.
So, yeah, you're almost doubling in size. So we really got to continue to expand that. More than likely what would happen first is we'd get a second, you know, daily service to a Denver LAX.
Rather than consolidating two or three.
Yeah, they'll get to that point. But, you know, a second flight's not a bad thing either. It's
no.
more flexibility.
Maybe living the high life.
Exactly.
That's another song reference. They're happening left and right. We'll be back.
Murphy's Markets has everything you need to get through your day the healthy way. From drinks to snacks and everything in between, right now, Amy and Brian coconut water is only $1.99. Brew Dr. Kombucha drinks are also just $1.99. And Annie's homegrown products are $2.49. A 6-ounce Yoplait yogurt is only 79 cents. And don't forget about chicken of the sea tuna, 4 for $5. Get a boost for your day by stopping by Murphy's Markets, more than a grocer, your neighbor since 1971.
The following broadcast of Talk Shop was recorded for broadcast at this time. Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:24. We're back talking shop this morning with Cody Rogitz from Humboldt.
See, he can't even go.
Aviation Department. Smart guy. I was trying to think, should I get smart or not?
Two segments in a row.
Yeah, I know. I'm on a roll.
Set expectations low and you'll never disappoint, bro.
Yeah, well, and thanks for the payoff, too. I appreciate that.
After we ended that last segment, I thought you were coming out of break singing here for the listeners.
Huh?
Yeah.
I didn't put anything in that water that you're drinking, but something apparently made it in. I don't know. I'm glad you took yours and not mine.
Good coffee this morning.
Could have been ugly.
Studio.
Could have been ugly. Is safety a major issue? I mean, I know it's always been a major issue for the airline industry, mm-hmm. but with the tire falling off or the wheel falling off last week, the door issue or the panels, is maintenance Does it have to be not done more, but somehow a confidence be rebuilt into those areas? Because I would think for those that are kind of on the edge, maybe they're pulling back now and not using airplane.
Yeah, it's funny. When these incidents happen, my phone typically blows up with family members texting me that are going to be, you know, or friends that are going to be flying in the near future. Oh. Like, oh no, is it safe? Or, you know, it comes up in conversations.
Is this your fault?
No.
That would be mine to you.
Yeah. That's the text I get from Brian. But no, it's interesting. I've been in this industry for almost 20 years, and that makes me an old guy in some settings. But when I first got into the industry, we didn't have, you know, smartphones. We weren't all recording everything that happened right in front of us. And now, obviously, that's changed with, you know, TikTok, and I jokingly say Insta-tweet and all the other things because I don't participate in any of those personally. But, you know, we're all recording it, and when we see that recording of the door incident, for example, with Boeing, it makes it a lot more real for all of us. And
it's almost tangible.
Right, and it seemingly is happening so much more often because every time something happens, it's recorded. Yeah. And replayed. And we didn't hear about a lot of these things, at least on a national level or in different parts of the country, you know, 20 years ago when I got into the industry. So I think that's a big part of it. As far as the quality control, quality assurance matters at Boeing, I know that some of their executives are either no longer employed or now have a different role, and you know, they're trying to address that.
They're out on the tarmac, is that what you're saying?
Well,
yeah.
No. They're just,
a different role, you've been reassigned.
Yeah. They're definitely holding folks accountable, and the FAA is holding them accountable as the regulatory agency.
So why don't we hear about that?
That is out there. The FAA has been very public about.
So it's just not mainstreaming.
Yeah, it's, you know, because it's not a attractive or sexy video that grabs everybody's attention, like we were talking about a minute ago.
Maybe they need a new spokesperson.
Yeah, you're looking at the wrong guy. There's nothing attractive or sexy with anything I do, but the
I was thinking more Boeing, not you, but that's okay.
No, it just I think it's in our faces a lot more. But what hasn't changed, you know, with these incidents, and luckily, you know, there was no injuries with the ones you brought up, but it's that focus on safety, and the FAA's always focused on it. And sometimes as an airport manager or in different segments of aviation, you hear people complaining about, well, the FAA's making me do this, or, oh, now we have to do that. And, yeah, there's a lot of paperwork. There's a lot of tracking. There's a lot of accountability, but that leads to the safest aviation system in the entire world. And we're fortunate enough to have that here in the United States. Yeah, I think he did put something in my water here. I can't speak.
Now you're blaming me. It could be old age thing you were referencing earlier, smarty.
That definitely is probably the case.
You obviously didn't see my gesturing.
Oh, I did.
Oh, you did. Good.
I was trying to stay focused.
Didn't want to lose a good thing there.
I don't know how good it was, but it's something.
Private airplanes versus, I guess, those that are commercial. Is there any ratio of incidents one to the other? Because I would think that there could be a temptation for people to say, oh, big boy airline X doesn't care about me. And Jim Bob, who's flying his own little Cessna, cares about himself and his family. And so he's going over the top, taking care of everything. You know where I'm going with it.
Yeah.
A ratio of the numbers of safety-related incidents between private and commercial?
There's more in the private side of, or general aviation side. There's more incidents than there are on the commercial airline side. And part of that is you have standards of experience that you have to become an airline pilot or even a flight attendant. And they're a key part of the whole safety system when you're on board too, because if an emergency does happen on your flight, You're not up there talking to the first officer or the captain. You're working with the flight attendants.
That would be a heck of a bump.
Yeah, right.
If I ended up in the cockpit.
You know, one thing, you and I haven't flown together, but because I'm in the front and he's in the back row. But no, I'm just kidding.
No, I'm wedged against the back wall, and you got the leg room.
Right next to the lav. He's like the security guard for the lav back there. But it's still... Even when you take into account those statistics on the general aviation side, we are still the safest airspace and the safest national system for aviation in the entire world. So there are really high barriers and really high standards in that general aviation arena as well.
So what I heard was don't fly in Europe, don't fly in Africa, and don't fly in Australia. No. KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:30.
This is the Lars Larson Show.
And these kids who come, they become Americans before a lot of Americans become Americans.
Now, here's your host, Lars Larson.
Hey there, it's Lars Larson. Join me for the Lars Larson Show, weeknights 10 to midnight. Honestly provocative talk radio on KINS.
The following broadcast of Talk Shop was recorded for broadcast at this time. Good morning, KINS. News and Information Time. It's 8:35. The hits just keep rolling this afternoon. this morning with Mr. Rogitz. Okay, fine. Yeah, maybe there is something in the water. I don't know. It's a new flavor, mojito. I've never had a mojito, and I think this must be pretty darn close to it.
I didn't check the ingredients on what he gave me.
It's a 0000, so I figured.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's only got 10%.
You got me laughing more than normal here.
Yeah. Well, yeah. What can I tell you? A little sleep deprivation does wonders.
Absolutely.
So I've been hearing that flights in and out of San Francisco have been having issues.
Who'd you hear that from?
Probably 6 or 7 people in the last week. So it just isn't people who fly in the first class. But I would think that the maintenance that you were orchestrating, they probably have comparable. Mm-hmm. You shut down the airport. They shut down half of the airport. Why doesn't San Francisco have greater capacity?
Well, there's a little body of water surrounding three sides of their facility.
Well, you got deer surrounding three sides of your facility.
Well, yeah, but they are capacity constrained, and they are doing some work on their airfield, I believe, on a couple of the taxiways and tying into one of the runways. And what that's causing on the ground is they can't flow traffic on the ground as quickly as they normally can. So things are getting congested on the ground, which, of course, that trickles into arriving and departing aircraft, getting in and out of there on time. They are doing a good job overall in what I've seen, and I've experienced it myself even in the last few weeks, a couple of delays. That's why I was jokingly asking you who you heard that from, because off air I was telling you some of those adventures that I went through. But, you know, it's just the same thing that our community was with us when we shut the airport down back in August 2023. Sleep deprivation, you're right. When we shut the airport down back then for that 12-day span to repave the main runway, they're not shutting down the whole airfield because they have 4 runways, but they do have to shut down a portion of it so that those contractors can safely and efficiently work out there. And I can assure you that there was a lot of planning on their side that went into it, just like we did up here. And really, it's trying to be patient and understanding, like Humboldt was with us while we made those improvements. It is for a few month window, but I know they're getting it done as quickly as possible in a very complicated environment that is SFO.
It seems as if don't know, was it poor design? If we get a quarter inch of rain, they seem to have issues. If we have a little bit of anything, San Francisco seems to be this choke point. Is it just sheer volume of what goes through SFO that sets those dominoes up and causes these ongoing challenges?
It is. So someday you and I will have to look at SFO's airfield side by side with Denver's airfield, right? So SFO, they have compressed as many runways and taxiways as they possibly can into the space that they have available to them, because the airport naturally grew as the Bay Area grew and as United and other airlines grew in that environment. Versus Denver, they left their original airport, Centennial, back in the late 80s, early 90s. And what the city and county of Denver had done is they bought up all this land outside of the metro area and basically built an airport from scratch. And so that airfield, when Denver has snow, continues to function in a very efficient way, because they will shut down half of the airfield and remove the snow or ice or whatever's, you know, out there, and continue operating on the other half. And then they just flip back and forth constantly throughout the entire event. At SFO, when they have fog or inclement conditions roll into the area, that safety standard that we were talking about a little bit ago, air traffic goes from a 1 mile separation requirement to a 3 mile separation requirement. So now all of a sudden my capacity in the airspace down there trying to get in has been cut to a third. You can't get people in as quick. You can't get them out as quick. And they build the schedule and the demand is there, whether it's connecting traffic from ACV or Medford or wherever, Southern California or other parts of our region, feeding into the international or cross-country travel, or it's that cross-country travel or international travel, that schedule is built to try to meet that demand. And when the weather doesn't cooperate down there, not snow and ice, obviously, but other things, that capacity just can't keep up.
So you have San Francisco.
Mm-hmm.
You also have San Jose,
mm-hmm.
Oakland, and Sacramento.
Mm-hmm.
Do the other three airports have those same, obviously not Baywater, but do they have similar constraints? Or are they not at capacity and can handle growth in their traffic?
So I can't speak specifically to like terminal or not airside, but landside capacity, you know, i.e. can they get vehicles to and from the front of their terminal? Do they have the gate space? But I can tell you on the airside, runway-wise, they can handle more traffic at an Oakland, or I should say additional traffic, at an Oakland, San Jose, or Sacramento much more easily than they can at SFO.
So why not? And I know United has gotten major out of San Francisco.
Mm-hmm.
But why not have the other airlines then pick up and either the airline want to move, SFO wanting to push them out, or the other airports wanting to attract to get them to fly? I mean, the difference between Oakland and San Francisco for most people is going to be negligible.
For us here, yes.
Yeah. And even in the Bay Area, or make it San Jose then.
Mm-hmm.
You know, for the South Bay to be able to go there. Sacramento, okay, that would be a little bit different dynamic. And look at it as a compound situation rather than four silos.
Right. And those airports and the air traffic personnel and everybody down there in the Bay Area, they actually do work together, you know, trying to keep things safe in the airspace and all of those things. But that hub and spoke system that United operates out of SFO and Denver and LAX and American and Delta and other locations, they want to bring everybody together all at once. And then they want, you know, an hour and a half later to send everybody back out in different directions so that Brian coming from ACV can connect in San Francisco and go on to Kansas City. And they set that schedule up to make that convenient. So Brian's not flying to San Francisco, sitting for 8 hours, and then flying to Kansas City.
Or jump another brand.
Right, right. And so that hub and spoke concept is bring them all in together, send them all back out together. Obviously not right on top of one another, but, you know, shortly
thereafter. But as the feeders then, okay, maybe we have an experience a different carrier here that flies to Sacramento that we don't have now versus using United to go into San Francisco if United opts to stay in San Francisco.
The only problem with that concept for us going to Sacramento is American, United, Delta, the big three, they don't operate a heavy hub in or a hub like they do in San Francisco for United. Sacramento, Southwest is the biggest operator in and out of Sacramento. Unfortunately, here in Humboldt, we're too small of a market to really attract Southwest at this point. That's not saying we'll never get them here down the road if we continue to grow. But right now, today and tomorrow and in the near term, we definitely won't be on Southwest radar.
Well, at least that's not in the short terminal.
I can't win with this guy.
Not yet. Not yet. Hey, one more segment. You got one more chance.
To redeem myself.
KINS, News and Information Time, is 8:46.
Hearty and healthy foods are abundant at Murphy's Markets. USDA Choice Boneless Beef Chuck Roast is now $5.99 a pound. USDA Choice New York Strip Steak, $15.99 a pound. And USDA Grade A Boneless Skinless Chicken Thighs are only $3.99 a pound. Complement this with a Greek salad, now just $7.99 a pound, topped with Kraft salad dressing for only $3.75. For a 16-ounce bottle. Murphy's Markets, more than a grocer, your neighbor since 1971.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:49. Back talking shop this morning with Cody Rogitz. So the spoken wheel concept is one that makes a lot of sense.
Mm-hmm.
It's certainly very efficient. But is it profitable to keep it this way or to spread the spider net out wider?
Yeah, it is profitable, or it has been in recent years, but in the almost 20 years I've been in this industry, we were talking about a little while ago, the airlines, you know, you and I talk about our travels when we're off air and what we paid for tickets and so on and so forth, but it really is a razor-thin margin that they operate on. And people spend a lot of money. You know, if you're flying to, I think the last time you and I talked, you were flying to somewhere in the Midwest. I don't remember the destination.
Wonderful St. Louis in January,
yes,
maybe.
Yeah.
You forgot about that one, huh?
Yeah.
That one's kind of burned in my mind.
What burned in my mind is Brian came in to say hello at my office, and
he had his
Hawaiian shirt on heading to St. Louis in January. So he was
and coming
well
back,
equipped.
You just weren't around when we came back. Left at 2 degrees, baby.
Lovely weather. But no, it is profitable in the best of times. But it's when you look at their overall revenue compared to that profit, it's a very, very low profit margin. And when you have major things happen, whether that's with the economy or global affairs or oil prices rise, there's so many sensitivities that the airlines have to their operations that can impact demand and or their operating costs, where that razor thin margin can disappear overnight. And so
why,
it's a risky business.
Why do they do the yield management for ticket prices then? Or I guess we call it the Wendy's model. Instead of saying it's a flat fee, if the chair is there, go for it. Now, if you want to roll the dice and wait the last 2 days before you go, we may do a drop there. But other than that, here's what a chair costs to go from McKinleyville to Boston. End of story.
Yep.
a little Texan going on there, huh?
Yep. Oofta. they're trying to squeeze every dollar they possibly can out of every flight they operate. And when you talk about the Wendy's model, as you called it, or flexible pricing.
Well, it's certainly getting a lot of discussion now.
Oh, yeah. But it's something that in trying to squeeze every dollar out and find that 1, 2, 3% profit that they're trying to achieve, If you have a set price and you know what that is, but you know it might drop the last 2 days, well, I'm not going to book until I can roll the dice and try to book it at a lower price.
Probably in larger markets where there's multiple flights. When you're in Dinkerdo market, you got one shot, right?
Well,
you want Denver. You know, on that day at that time, you know there's X number of seats left, and if you miss,
yep.
Uh-oh. Now we're in trouble.
Right, right. You are, but at the same time, when you're booking, if you have some flexibility with your travel plans, then you can often find moving up a day, moving back a day. Maybe it's the following week and it's cheaper. And people often ask me this question about, well, why aren't flights cheaper? And some have the impression that I have unilateral control over the prices at ACV, which I have no control at all and no say at all, whether it's Avelo or United. But that is all on the airline, and especially these well-established airlines like American, United, Delta, Southwest. They have very, very advanced computers running in the background that are constantly tracking activity on different routes, and the computers are fluctuating those prices with personnel input. But that's, again, all tied to that effort of trying to maximize that revenue. And they'll continue to do that because they're in business and report to shareholders.
So. Well, that's what I was thinking. You know, if it's at 3%, if they could move it to 4% with a different approach.
And yeah, it's funny, but they're always watching each other's prices, and the computer systems are evaluating.
And if they had Pepsi on board, it'd be worth that 1 point.
Or this water
or
mojito.
Yes, yes. You betcha. Thanks for coming by, bud.
Thanks
See
a lot.
Tomorrow. This presentation of Talk Shop was recorded at a previous time for playback today.